Thinking to Senior, who has been an Alliance resident for a great, great many years and on Main Street Alliance for a great many years, and I'll let him indicate just how long that is. I want to talk with him about the business he's been in and about how he has viewed the community of Alliance during that time. When did you come here, Mr. Figginshoe?
1970.
And you were where living where at that time? When you came here, you came from?
Maslin.
You were born and raised in Maslin, is that
1887,
right?
1887, April the 30th.
Now, what made you decide to leave Maslin and come to Alliance?
Well, the man I worked for in Maslin was Albert J. Miller, best jeweler in the city. And I was worked at different stores to see how they conducted their business, and I was supposed to go back and be with him, employed with Mr. Miller. The way I got into it, he was a neighbor of mine, and he tried to get me to come in with vacation time, different periods when I wasn't going to school, and wanted to learn the trade. So I worked there for several years. And then I went to Bradley Polytechnic Watchmaking School, Peoria, Illinois. I was about 1905 along there. From there I went to Philadelphia Engraving School in Philadelphia, Philadelphia College of Horology, which is watch repairing and making, and engraving school. And then I was to go back to Maslin and work for him, but he decided to have me try working in different jewelry stores, give an idea how they conducted their business. And the result was, I liked it here very well, and electric streetcar lines ran over to Maslin. Saturday night I'd go over there, and he'd say, "Well, Carl, how are you getting along?" I said, "Well, it's getting along fine." And, well, finally, he said, "Well, we're going to see if we can't get a job for you somewhere." And a traveling man came to Maslin and said, "The next stop was Alliance. And Mr. and Mrs. R.C. Bates, jewelers." Corner of Linden and Main at that time, the hotel, Lexman location. I came over to see them. The traveling man told me to come over and see them about the position they had open, which I did. I liked it real well. And as time went along, well, I decided I would stay here instead of going back to Maslin. Alliance practically is part of my hometown also, more so than Maslin now, although I know a lot about Maslin and all the people in it.
Yes, you had your background there.
Yes. And I worked for these people living with these, Mr. and Mrs. R.C. Bates, at a home just south of the old library on Arch Street. From 1907 to 1919. And I opened my first store where the Alliance Chamber of Commerce is now in 1919. There, 22 years, I tore the building down and moved across the street at Siebel's Meat Market, the Hamlin Grocery Store, where the Alliance City parking location is now. The buildings are torn down. And I was there 20 years. And finally, we have an opening on Main Street where at the present time, which is Miller Shoe Store. We moved out, they moved out the plaza, and we got a hold of this place. We remodeled it, and 8 years ago we caught in a fire, midnight, November the 30th.
I remember that.
And we got caught in this fire. We had got lost. We finally moved back to our old location.
Temporarily.
And the store was vacant. John Cheeks, the haberdasher, moved out. Al Noll had charge of the room. He was in Florida. Meyer Fleischer found out where the key was. And they had a safe piled up in the street, five safes on Main Street, and it blocked off a whole week. And we finally moved back in the old location. We started with friends, helped us clean up a lot of the merchandise we had left, the silver and so on. And And we started in business. 1 week's time, we were open for Christmas business, and our business was very good. After that, we bought the location where we were formerly, 240 East Main, and we remodeled, we put up a new building next door to the Brown's store, and we worked together and we both rebuilt. And of course, the building next to us on the west had burned down, the three-story building, and we got caught in the middle.
Yes. Good.
Anything else you'd like to know?
No, so you've been in this location here pretty much then, since you struck out on your own after you left Bates.
Yes. 1919.
Now, I noticed when I come into your store this morning, it is a modern storefront, but as I recall, an old picture of Main Street, didn't Bates used to have a picture of a clock, out, or was that...
That was on this side of the street.
Oh,
Bates was on the other side.
Other side.
Hotel.
Yes.
Zhang's Jewelry.
Zhang's Jewelry.
Z-A-N-G.
Yes.
Had a clock, also a location where... Shoe store where the Friendly Furniture is now.
Yes.
There was a jewelry store, John Scher. That before I came, they had a clock out in front also.
Oh, yes. Well, now, and when you started out, when you came to Alliance here and were in the jewelry business, how much did you do in actual selling merchandise? How much did you do in repairing? What was your...
My occupation was to be a repairman and engraving.
Mm-hmm.
But I waited on the trade also.
Yes.
And I was practically one of the family that lived with him 8 years before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
Got married in 1915.
Now, what amount of your time did you spend in repair? Was this what you did principally at that time, repair work?
General work, general repair. Yes.
Now, how has that changed over the years? Do you still do repair work?
Yes. Watch repairing, yes.
But now many jewelry stores you go in these days, people tell me they have to send things away.
That's right. We do. We have so much work that we have to, some of it, we have to send away. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But isn't it true that in some jewelry stores there are not competent or trained workmen who can do this repair work?
Well, yes. A lot of them went to the shops where they paid big wages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And watch repairmen were scarce.
Yes.
You can't hardly get a watch repairman today.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with engraving. Now, I did hand engraving. Perhaps you saw my picture. It's a plate I engraved up there in front.
Yes.
Well, I lost all my tools in the fire, so I never purchase any more tools.
Mm-hmm.
But we do buy an engraving machine now.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That's very good work. So the hand engraving, very few hand engravers anymore.
I suppose, unless there's someone, an old timer like you,
that's
who can
right.
do it.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, when you came to Alliance, I'm going to stop. Well, the question I wanted to ask you was your impression of Alliance. As you look back when you came here in 1907, was it a town? Was it a small city? How would you describe Alliance in those days?
Alliance was a railroad center. The Pennsylvania line ran from Chicago to New York and Washington, D.C. Then the Cleveland and Pittsburgh line ran north and south. Now, East Liverpool and north to Cleveland. The main line of Pittsburgh, Fort Wayne, Chicago, it used to be called, ran through here. The railroad center here. They had a roundhouse here, and quite a railroad center. The old railroad station was a hotel in time.
Mm-hmm.
Sauerbeck ran that.
Heard years ago,
Sauerbeck.
Yes. Sauerbeck.
Years ago.
Yes.
And they served very good meals there. The elite of the city went down there for Sunday meals after church years ago.
Yeah.
And across the track there, on the same side of the street, was the Chase House.
Okay.
Very old hotel, the Pluchels from
yes.
The Pluchels. But this also was a hotel at the old station. The hotel. And all the mainline trains, the Blue Ribbon trains, all stopped there when they had the steam engine to take water. Mm-hmm. And all those trains stopped there. And this was the destination from Chicago. Chicago, Fort Wayne, Crestline, Pearl Line. The crew of the dining cars got off there, the cooks got off, and the stewards got off with their coats over their arms, mm-hmm. and their white coats and jackets and the grips. And they stayed upstairs in the hotel.
Oh, yes.
Then the morning when the trains went west, 6 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 or 6, they took the train back to Chicago again.
So this was a this was the stopping place for all that.
Yeah. And very interesting. I was always interesting because I lived in Massillon on the main line of Pennsylvania, and I knew what the road was. Of course, now it's the Penn Central.
Yes.
And but a lot of interesting things happened. I used to go down quite often to see these trains.
Well, you had an interest. This wasn't you. Many other people. This was an attraction, wasn't it, to go down to see that?
Now, the Broadway Limited, a lot of the young people today don't even know what these trains are. They never rode on one.
Mm-hmm.
The Broadway Limited stopped here, the Blue Ribbon trains, all Pullman, dining cars, got a valet, got a barbershop on it, a library, dining car, and they carried little mail. First class mail, just a little. And I used to know a lot of men on that road. I got to know them. Mm-hmm. I got my letters down there sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Late. Yeah. They pick them up. I got to know them real well.
Of course, this made very fine train service facility for you to get in and out of Alliance at that time,
we had
too.
Oh, wonderful service, which today you don't have. But at the Amtrak, you have to go to the camp. Yeah. I guess that station's boarded up now.
Right.
And you have to have almost a policeman there to see if you get on all
right
without having some trouble.
But in those days that you talk about, you could go to Cleveland or Pittsburgh and back in the same day.
You get on the train here at night, the Manhattan Limited, I think, at night. Went to New York, get there in the morning, ate something in the morning, or in the morning at 6:30, go to Cleveland, spend the day, come back at 6:40 in the evening. Very, very accommodating
affairs. Well, Charlie Spiro claims that we're going to come back to this type of transportation.
I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so. They're trying to, but of course, financially, the railroads are in very bad shape.
Right.
But the government may have to come across and do something if the economy ever opens up again. That's the worst part today. They're all in trouble.
Well,
except the Chesapeake and the Hyde. They're in pretty good shape.
Well, now, you speak about this being a railroad town and the excitement at the station. What would it be like on an evening? You were open nights. You didn't close at 5 o'clock then, did you?
Yeah, we weren't open nights. Weren't open nights. No, except Saturday.
Saturday,
yes. Well, this is quite a Saturday town. The banks were open, you know.
Oh, they were open, too.
And people would ride down in their cars, you know, and sit along the curb, watch the people up and down the street, which they don't do today anymore.
Yes.
I saw that too. And of course, Spring and Holdsworth store and the Alliance Hardware, they were in business, I got the people down. They didn't do much outside shopping that time, except going to Cleveland once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So it almost seemed like a fair on Saturday night.
That's right. That's very true.
I can remember when I came to college here, and that's getting back 40 years ago. Come down, the Salvation Army would be playing, and it would be quite a... You could just stand and watch. This is quite a...
Down the square.
Yes.
Well, the City Savings Bank, the old building used to be on the corner. Martin's Confectionery was there at that time. And, of course, there's a bar back, Schwinn Bar, the old City Hall. I remember that very well. And, but it's quite a city. Then we weren't afraid to come downtown at night.
Well, that was a big difference.
Oh, we could get out the station. I wouldn't think of walking down that station tonight, at night at the present time.
Right.
Vandalism, break windows in the new station, they broke the windows in that station.
Yes.
today, I'd be ready.
But that was just a regular Saturday evening outing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, when you talked about coming down in automobiles, but when you first came over, there weren't many automobiles.
When I came in 1970, I don't believe there were 7 or 8 automobiles in town here. I remember that.
Now, Main Street was paved. It was brick.
Brick. That's right. But I can remember one time a big touring car came over from open camp. And that was quite a thing. People all gathered around to look at that car. Right in front of a jewelry store, Basie's, and some of the Basie's jewelry store. And these ladies had the veils around their hats, you know, as they were walking, had these tops, and they had a back entrance to the touring car, and a high wheel, and big brass lights on the front. But it was quite an occasion. People would stop and look at this car, examine it, you know, and they thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Izzy Tollison, Tollison Columbus Yard, he had a buckboard, solid, like a buggy wheel, a buckboard automobile.
Oh.
He hauled the lumber on. I can see that man yet riding down the street wearing a cap.
Now that, they wouldn't go very fast, would they?
No. But it was a hard wheel tire.
Yeah. Yes.
Like a rubber buggy tire. I can remember that.
Well, of course, the streetcar gave transportation for
people
here.
A regular network.
Yes.
You can get on the streetcar here and go to Stephen, Beloit, Salem, East Liverpool, Indiana, Youngstown. Go west, go through Maximal, go to Canton, East Greenville, Dalton, west. South, you go to Canal Dover, East Paul.
Yes.
Dover. You fill it out. You're going down to north. You go to Greentown, north to Akron to Cleveland.
That was quite a network that they hooked
quite
up.
Quite a network, and the streetcars, they had, call it tripper between Alliance and Sebring. A lot of the women worked at the potters, and they ran a tripper, standing room sometimes, going to work between Alliance and Sebring.
Well, I can remember, as I indicated, when I came to college here, many times, if you were down here at the closing hour, or rush hour, you had to stand on the streetcar even then, just local here.
Standing room.
Yes.
Right in between Salem and Alliance, standing room a lot of times.
Yes. And, of course, on some parts of Alliance, you could get back and forth pretty easily with the streetcar.
No trouble whatever. The streetcar ran up Art Street, had a switch up there, Grant Street, switch. Remember it very well.
What do you remember? Any unusual business concerns on Main Street, or would you like to comment on any unusual characters, men, women, who at that time? There used to be up here where the Owl Grill is. There was a House of Fashion, or wasn't there?
That was before I came.
I see.
What do you call the House of Fashion? Economy store.
Economy store, that's right.
Oh, that's way back.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. Sam's Meat Market used to be up there. IDO is now.
Then he later moved up to Mount Union.
Where the new restaurant is. That used to be Cunningham's furniture store there.
Yes.
There's a restaurant in there now. And that was the Elmac Hall. Elmac. And they had Society Dances there.
Oh, mm-hmm.
In that building, called the Elmac Hall. Ellis McDonald owned it. That's where it got its name.
They were the plumbers.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's where it got its name.
Yes.
But they had a lot of nice dances there.
Mm-hmm.
KFC dances and sort of Italy to the city.
Not rock and roll dances.
No, nothing like that.
These were all waltzes and ballroom dancing,
shots,
right? Yes.
All that kind of dance. That was very, very nice and good music, too.
Well, now, where did you go? You didn't go to a dance. You didn't go down to the railroad station. Did you go to a motion picture or the stage show?
Years ago, when the silent movies came, the first one was down there. Just on the north side of Main Street, east of the bank. mm-hmm. down a little way.
Where the Alliance Bank was.
Yes. And they had silent movies and Frank Hartley. You have a regular blackboard pointer pointing to tell what's going to happen next on this silent movie.
Is that right?
And May Richardson, who finally married Joe Stamp, Virgil Stamp's brother, he married Joe Stamp. May Richardson, she was a pianist. And all years later, by they moved to California, and Joe died not too long ago, and I don't know if his wife is still living or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Frank Hartzell. Then Frank Hartzell moved up towards the next year, veterans, called the Lyric. And if you look very carefully, on the east wall of Jeanette's building there, you'll find the sign up there, that Lyric painted up there.
Lyric.
Very faint, but I can tell you what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Hartzell was alive. And across from that movie, down there on Main Street, was the Crystal Palace. Oh, Peter Tender had that. And that was quite a place for a Sunday afternoon for soda and for the young people to hang out there.
Yes.
Also, my former location, where the parking lot is across the street, here, there was a Alliance chocolate shop there. They served sodas and so on.
Oh, yes.
In fact, George Prince worked there.
Is that right?
Soda. Jerker.
Soda jerker, yeah.
Told me about that.
Well, that's interesting. Well, what about the Columbia? Now, that had stage shows, did it?
Yeah,
plays?
Columbia was run by Lamont Smith, who, by the way, is still living in Miami, Florida. A great while here from him. He's still living. Raymond Wallace was in with him.
Oh, yes.
Columbia had stage shows. They were on Morrison Theater. No, the Columbia Theater. That was up on
Columbia Street. Yes.
And that was quite a place. Quite good shows up there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the changes that took place.
Mm-hmm.
Where the stage shows and the movies come in all that great activity.
Yes. Well, now you're speaking about the confectionaries and soda shops. Now, there are other. You mentioned up behind Martin's there was a saloon or cafe. Now, how many were these? These were on Main Street.
Jake Schwinn. Well, down the end of the street. Waltz. Welch. Yes, that was on. Oh, Derby's Restaurant was down there. That's where a lot of the young people hung out about 11 o'clock after they saw their girlfriend. They'd come down there and have something to eat, That's where they landed at midnight. And there was a bar down there, but they didn't see the bar down there. And across the street, there's the Stark Electric office there, waiting room, there's a couple bars on there.
Were there more down toward the station?
Mostly, yes. Then Freedom and Maine were, this is a card shop, that's her name. Well, I was a wrestler there one time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she just died recently.
No, this is a card shop. It's down there yet.
Roller? Mrs. Roller's?
Roller's on the other side.
The other side.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
What else do you like?
Okay.
Other stores?
Yes, I was wondering, was there some individual, was there a Samuel Katzenstein?
Oh, that was on the south side of the street. Allen and Kreider's store was right at the corner of Freedom and...
right at the square.
Yeah, just east. Mm-hmm. Allen and Kreider's. Then Sam Katzenstein had a carpet store. And they were very respected people. And Sam and his brother Philip, and they lived up the corner of Arch and Oxford and the Brick House, there at the corner, northeast.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very nice store there, but they've passed on. The families are all gone. But I remember them well.
Well, I just wondered if there were any other on Main Street that would be sort of a... George Judd was on farther down there.
The corner of
And of course, he was
Maine and Liberty, and they had a high-grade clothing tailors.
The thing that always interested me, that although he ran a tailor establishment, he never sewed, never made a suit.
Mr. Hunt. Yeah. Mr. Hunt that did all the tailoring.
Oh, yes.
And he was a very fine tailor. Yes.
But I just wondered if you remember if there's any local character, you know, like a local weather prophet or a philosopher or an eccentric, someone of this nature on during the time you're on Main Street. I just can't think of the names of, I've read some.
I can't just recall the name now of the character on the street. There's one fellow that sold astrology cards on the street. I forget his name. I don't know. I might know. I can't think of his name right now.
Was that Marchand?
That's what it was.
Yes.
Yes, Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite a character. They're nice people. They were nice people. Very nice.
Now, he was through here just a few years ago. He was an old gentleman then.
Oh, that was Guy.
Oh.
That was the son.
Oh, that was his son.
Yes.
Oh.
That was Guy.
Mm-hmm.
He died out in California.
Yes.
In fact, he married Blair Thompson's sister.
Oh, but he was in this business of forecasting, he told me. This is what he did. He made horoscopes and did this type of thing.
I think his name is Ed Marchand.
Yes.
But the father was quite a religious man, and he used to be on Main Street a lot.
Yes. Well, now, speaking of that that type of approach, there was a spiritualist church, wasn't there, out here? Was that still in operation when you came?
Is that up on Broadway?
Yes.
This church is still there.
Yes, it's still there.
It's empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Yes.
But was that in operation when you, or do you recall?
Slightly, if that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it changed.
Yes.
Now this Marchand, Guy Marchand, was quite a fellow. Very intellectual. And he wrote a book, How to Make a Million. Perhaps you heard about it.
No, I haven't heard about that.
He would rent an auditorium up in Cleveland. And his wife came out, long gown, spangles on the dress. And he had them packing up there. Guy Marchand. Very brilliant fellow he was. Oh, after the First World War, during the First World War, he was appointed some position up in government job for our government. In Canada, I forget what, Ottawa, perhaps, I suppose, in there. And of course, the boys all knew him here, but he got this position, of course.
Oh,
they all kind of laughed.
Yeah.
He had a tile hat and so on. But he was brilliant. He was a very, very fine fellow, very fine man. But the boys all knew him, or he got that kind of a job.
Yes. He
was never so surprised.
Well, when you came, what about the, we call them the ethnic groups, Italians, Hungarians, Romanians, the blacks? They were just starting to come in at that time, were they?
The blacks, they had very good black people here. They were nice families. And, of course, later they came up from the South, you know, a different group.
Mm-hmm.
But I have always had respect for the colored people. They were decent people, just like a white person.
Mm. How many would you, roughly, would you have any notion when you came over in 1907? Were there very many in the...
No.
Just
not,
a few.
Not too many families, no. Mm-hmm. Same way in Mathlin.
Mm-hmm.
They were respected in Mathlin also.
Mm-hmm.
Colored people are respected. They were nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, trying to find a job, maybe that's how some of them went off a little bit. But they were very fine colored people here.
Now, what about Italians and Romanians? Were they starting to come in?
Italians were here. They helped to build the railroad. Irish, Italian, and Germans, too.
Mm-hmm.
German settlers. That was the different nationality they had here.
Mm-hmm.
They helped to build this railroad years ago before I was born.
Yes. But I thought for... Morgan Engineering and Alliance Manufacturing, a lot of these men came in to work in these plants.
Yes, a lot of Romanians, Hungarians came to work in the molding plants,
mm-hmm.
like American Steel today. I don't know what's called that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We worked at Morgan's. Lance Machine started later than Morgan's.
Yes. That's after the turn of the century.
That's right.
Yes. Well, I thought I remember reading where they didn't call it the Mafia, but they called it the Black Hand. Italian group was through.
Yeah, I was here at that time. I had some shootings going on.
Mm-hmm.
But not too many.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some here. But the Italian people were nice people, but there's always some, like,
sure,
other nationalities. There's always some to cause trouble.
There was a few, yes.
They were respected. Mm-hmm. The Irish, the Romanians, they were all respected people. They were hard-working people.
Mm-hmm. As far as you look back on your long career here on Main Street, what stands out? Is there any experience? There was a fire spring in Holdsworth. You went through a fire.
Oh, yes.
Well, is there, there was a big snow you were through.
Well, that was in 52 around here. The biggest snow here.
Well, there was one earlier. Maybe that's before you got here.
Yes, the biggest snow that I ever saw was in 1901. NASA.
Yes.
It snowed for 3 days, and that happened to be April the 30th.
Oh, boy. Is that right?
Yes, it snowed for 3 days, and the farmers couldn't feed their stock. It was about a yard, 3 foot deep.
Yeah.
And the Pennsylvania Railroad passenger train, Pullman train, were struck between Massillon and Canton. Halfway, what do you call that place? And they couldn't get food out to them. They had no way to get food out to feed the people on the train. I don't know how long they were stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
So the snow, they had no bulldozers along the railroad with a deep ravine along the tracks. You couldn't get out to them, you know. I think that place is called the Massillon train. You know?
No, I don't. I don't. That was.
It'll come to me.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest snow, the largest I ever saw. And they had no bulldozers in the city in Massillon to clean the streets or anything. They just had to wait to kind of shovel it away and melt it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would really tie it up.
Yeah.
Really would.
I remember the canal boats on Massillon, too.
Yes.
The Ohio Canal. Oh, fond memories.
Yes. What, you remember the spring Holdsworth fire, and is there anything else on Main Street startling like that that might have happened that you can recall?
I know Mr. Spring and Mr. Holdsworth, they were very fine people. A nice store and a nice bunch of clerks there. And the Lindesmith store.
Of course, that was noted for the harness making in Lindesmith,
yes,
wasn't
they
it?
Made harness.
Yes.
Harness.
Yeah.
Well, like the Hoover Company for me.
Yeah, well, of course.
A little harness shop up in North Canton. I remember that very well when mm-hmm. I was a kid. Little frame building, blue, painted blue, little wooden building with a peg out in front with a horse collar hanging on it and fly nets.
Mm-hmm.
Hoover's Harness Shop. Kid.
Well, harness making is like the old time engraver. That's that's gone.
See them? Yeah, that's, things have changed a lot.
Yes.
No, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, I don't know. What else?
What do you think on Main? What do you notice is the biggest change on Main Street, say from 1910 that period today? If you were trying to make a comparison, is it friendliness and openness, or?
Oh, at that time, I think you knew more of the people. Friendliness, of course, you'd have it in retail stores here now, but everything's in a hurry today.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, you know. Speed to get them in, get them out, you know, like that kind of stuff. Although in our store, we don't chase them out or anything like that.
Yes.
Nobody does on Main Street, but there was more friendliness at that time, I think. And they knew, the clerks knew the people real well. And they all had a shaded, well, of course, they'd take a streetcar over to Canton, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Look around, turn in there, and a lot of old stores. But it was friendliness, all right.
Sunday, everything closed down, I take it, then, at that
Sunday
time.
Sunday, they closed down. From Alliance, they go over to Myers' Lake, or down at Lake Park, on Sundays.
What about Rock Hill?
Well, Rock Hill also. They went out there years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that real well. That's when they had the, that's where they got their ice.
Oh, yeah.
Alliance. Rock Hill ice. They cut the ice in the wintertime and just put it away on the sawdust, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice wagon come along downtown with a great big scales on the back end. And big tongs would hang there. The saloons all got their ice that way. They didn't have refrigerators or ice making machines. They'd weigh the ice, you know. That was quite a thing for kids when the ice wagon came around the home.
Well, that would be. And of course, the other thing you think of in connection with that's the sprinkler that they had to have.
I remember the street sprinklers also.
Did they have them on Main Street?
Yes, sir. They did. Yes, sir. And they kept the streets clean, too.
Is that right?
They really did. A lot of all these old fellows did a lot of handwork on the streets for the brooms, long brooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the sprinklers, that's right. See, a lot of streets weren't paved, too.
Well, once you, I guess once you got off Main Street or Arch Street, you...
Yeah, but they sprinkled Main Street, too, even though there were paved.
I see. Yeah. What about lighting, electric? Of course, you had electricity by that time.
Carbon lights. Yeah, electric carbon lights on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's quite an improvement now.
Yes.
The lighting system's wonderful now compared to the old carbon lights.
Mm-hmm. But they were an improvement over what they had, the old lamps.
The oil lamps,
yes.
That's right. I don't remember the oil lamps here. I do remember the massive.
Mm-hmm.
The electricity come along then.
Well, now, when you came here, was there a feeling that the Mount Union was still a sort of a separate, although it had become, was a part of Alliance?
They was part of Alliance at that time.
Yes.
And they had little stores up there.
Yes. Well, I don't know whether Cale Johnson was still in operation at that time or not. Cale Johnson, he ran a sort of a variety store. Maybe he was gone by that time. Oh, Shipman.
Shipman, that
yes, Shipman.
I remember that, sure.
And there was a maple grocery.
Walter Maple
yes.
Grocery. He died just recently.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now, did they think of Mount Union as still being a Quaker area by the time you got here, or had that gone past?
Well, they always admired Mount Union College, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They always thought of mine adjunct to the Alliance.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, when you came, the old high school building was the former Alliance College building. That was still up there.
Yes, now. And they built a new one. I remember that old one.
Yeah, the old building was condemned, and they built a new building.
New one. Yeah. And then it could be the other one.
Yes.
Now it's vacant. They're leveling it off now.
Yes. But that was a reservoir where...
Where Rodman's Library was a reservoir. But that wasn't there when I came.
I see. That had been...
That
gone.
Uh-huh. They skated on that. Skating parties up there. That was before I came to Atlanta.
I see. That had been filled in or taken care of by that time. Yeah.
There was another railroad went through Atlanta. LEAW.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Erie Wheeling Alliance. That's the part of the New York Central line.
Yes.
Goes up Mechanic Street there.
Mm-hmm.
And they all used to, they had passenger service on it.
Mm-hmm.
On the Bay Link, and then south, Greenville, down through there. And they call it LEAW, which means the Lake Leave Early and Walk.
Walk, yes.
Have you heard that?
I've heard that, yeah. That used to, that used
to
claim.
Up. That's standard.
When did you get your first car? You had a horse and buggy, did you, when you first came?
When I first came to town, I didn't have a car, but bought one when Carl was, my oldest son was old enough to drive a car. I had about 21 or 22, or, no, I mean the age of 21 or 22.
22, yes.
And,
but did you use a horse and buggy when you first came?
No, just walk.
I see.
The car and walk. But... About the car, we bought it. I had a car. We bought a car. Plymouth from Norman Heitzman.
Heitzman.
And it was on the afternoon, they're going to teach me to drive. The car was in the front seat. My wife and Carl intended, I think, Paula, in the back seat, and the wife in the seat. And north of the line, on a straight drive. And I was at the wheel and had a cigar in one hand and the wheel in the other. And I was teaching to drive. Finally, he yelled, "Dad, what are you trying to do?" And I was going 80 miles an hour. I didn't know I was going that fast. I turned the car over. Boys, take it. I don't want the car. Never drove a car.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Never drove a car.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
And my wife, she was going to learn. She had a little bit of a fraction. The result was she didn't drive you. So never drove a car. I never got a car.
Yeah. Your money ahead.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But then, well, the boys had fun. We get around all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you, as we mentioned, you could use a streetcar, and this just got you around.
We have moved the travel.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Went to Canton. Went to Cleveland if you wanted to.
Yes. Now, was still a livery stable? Was that still important when you came?
Oh, yes. That's right. Aiken's Livery Stable.
On, yes.
On Liberty. Aiken's and Keenan's. I knew them well. Yeah, that's what we used to do. Get a rig, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Drive up to Marlboro.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their girlfriends. Even an alliance would drive up there. We used to live up there. That's what we used to do on Sunday afternoon.
Now, you speak about having a cigar, and you have a couple in your pocket there. Were there cigar makers in Alliance at that time?
Yes, there were. And by the way, I don't even smoke.
Oh, all right.
You smoke?
No, not I used to, but not anymore.
Yes, there was a cigar factory there. I forget what the name was. Was it Allen?
I don't remember.
I think they made handmade cigars.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I forget what his name was. So. That didn't last too long.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have a cigar store Indian out in front of the...
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
One of Seneca named Bill Ellis, William Ellis Cigar Store. They had an Indian.
Is that right?
Yeah. I can tell you that.
Well, as you've been thinking about this, are there any other unusual stores like this? Candy-making places something of this?
These Greek, like Crystal Palace, mm-hmm. they made their own candy.
Mm-hmm.
They made their own candy.
Now, was Martin's at the square there? That was
they
a
didn't
pop-
make their candy.
But that was a light...
Fruit stand.
Oh, I see.
Fruit, melon, fruit, I see. Nuts, mm-hmm. soda fountain in there, but they didn't make their candy.
Now, if you wanted to go to a restaurant, if you had company or a Sunday dinner, where did you go? What was the restaurant in those times?
Well, Zerby's down at the end of Main Street restaurant. Boyd's restaurant was very good. Had Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think now where.
The Chase House and the station were probably not in operation by the time you came.
Well, the Chase House, we didn't go there. That's high class, like a hotel restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That was better years ago.
Now, did the Lexington have a dining room?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. By the way, yes, they had a dining room. That's where they went on Sundays.
I see.
Since you asked me, I knew those people real well.
Mm-hmm. Who, do you remember who ran that restaurant there?
Yes. Well, of course, the hotel building was owned by Kepler's.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel Keplinger had a millinery store right across the street from the hotel. Where this corner of Linden and Main. The labor shop is there right now, I think. And they had a restaurant there, too. What did you ask me there?
Well, I asked you who ran the dining. Do you remember who ran?
Well, this Lionel Keplinger. At a millinery store there, and they owned the hotel, the Keplinger family.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one left, and that's Blanche.
Yes,
Lokes. Mm-hmm. That's his daughter. And I guess one of the boys is living somewhere. Why, Veneer ran that hotel, and the bar. And it's one time I think he found that at the old railroad station hotel, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up there and ran that. And then, Mrs. Fry took the restaurant over years ago at a hotel. She had a son named Ike Beeson. He was married twice.
Mm-hmm.
Ike Beeson, Ed Beeson. And he ran the dining room with Mrs. Beeson. There's some things I'd like to tell you there, but I don't like to put it down.
Yeah, so I can understand that.
If you can cut it off, I'll tell you what.
All right, well, I'll remind you later on that.
So they ran this restaurant. and very good. He was a very good Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And Ike Beeson had a dray years ago, and he would haul the trunks, the traveling men's trunks.
Uh-huh.